Tom, I guess let's go with Frank Silvalli report on our podcast today that he believes that there's a very good chance Steve Staios could be taking the GM title and working in conjunction with Ken Holland, who currently owns both the president of hockey ops and the GM title. What do you make of that?
Well, that's why we brought him on Hello Hockey a couple of weeks ago. Greg's anticipating that his role would be elevated relatively soon. And what Ken Holland has a year left on his deal. Obviously, president of hockey ops and GM, it's a lot to do. And he's, what, in his mid-60s? So Steve Staios is a guy that has learned how to develop players at the NHL level. He went to Hamilton with the Bulldogs in the OHL and was president there and learned how to create a team, hire coaches, hire the right staff, was successful, had championships there. And then now, you know, he finds himself back at Edmonton. And I think when he was brought on, Greg's, we kind of looked at each other and were like, well, that's an interesting move that will probably come with more clout and meaning in short order. So it makes sense. It's logical. It's something I think, you know, generally we anticipated and could see coming. When that happens, if it happens right away or they wait another year, not really a huge surprise. And Steve Staios, since his playing days, has worked at learning the business side of the game, how to build a team and create cohesion and all of that. And that's why, honestly, you know, first of all, he's a great guy, smart man. And that's why we wanted to get in touch with him and tap into his understanding of the game and where it's at now and what it takes to create a winning culture and team. So when the time comes, I'm sure we're going to see an announcement made. And if it's Steve Staios taking over as GM, I wouldn't be that surprised, Greggs.
Tommy, what area of the Oilers game do you think they need to, not necessarily personnel-wise, but playing-wise, would you say they have to really focus on, you know, obviously through the summer, but then when they hit the ice next year, what area do you specifically have them get dialed in on better?
Strutty, it's something that popped up in this round, certainly, in the first round at times against LA, and something that we talked about basically for every day for the first 3 months, D-zone. D-zone, attention to detail, execution. You know, the Oilers cleaned it up for a good chunk of the latter half of the season and looked like they had learned a lot of tough lessons. And then the Golden Knights, who, again, all due respect to them, have a great team, were able to find tendencies in the Oilers' game in their defensive zone and expose them. And they took advantage of them. And you know, it was frustrating for Oiler fans to see stuff like that happen. There were a couple of instances last night. You could point to that first Marchessault goal where Nugent Hopkins and Draisaitl get crossed up. Marchessault, you know, kind of sneaks in unattested. Barbashev makes a great play on the redirection from the point shot, and nobody's there to tie up Marchessault, take away his stick, and he buries on an empty net. And then Cass pointed this out on the postgame show last night. We were talking in the press box as well in the second intermission. On the second Marchessault goal, the one where Stuart Skinner made the save up high, the puck, you know, on fortuitous bounce for the Golden Knights, and Marchessault just bangs it home because it's right there, and he's Johnny on the spot. There are three Oilers right around him. Everybody's looking around, not taking a man, tying him up. Like, listen, I know that puck. There's a good chance that if Marchessault didn't touch it, there's still a chance it could go in. But everybody's looking around, and three guys in orange and blue couldn't find it. And the one guy in gold and gray unaccosted again and can just sweep home the puck. So D-zone's a big thing. Obviously, the penalty kill is going to need some retooling. It did get better late in the season. Had its issues in the postseason. But I think defensive zone execution there is going to be a big priority next year.
Well, yeah, it's the one thing that that will have to improve as a group. Do you think, like, is there an upgrade in a trade or some way, do you think, Cody Ceci, or do they think they look at Ceci and say, okay, you know, he was banged up at parts of this season, and we feel he can be better next year? Or is that a concern for them moving forward?
Yeah, and Ceci, he had some good moments this past year. I don't think he was as consistent as last year. if they think that there's an upgrade, Greggs, I think they're willing to explore those types of options. I would even point out right wing as another one where they look to upgrade, get bigger, a little more grittier for sure. But, you know, Cody Ceci seems to have fit in well. Is he the ideal, you know, first pairing, second pairing, D-man on the right side there? Maybe not. Maybe you can make an upgrade. So I think that that's something they would explore. If they don't find it in the offseason, they don't find that guy that they think is gives them a different look on the back end, maybe there's a deal in the season. Like we discussed this year when they made the Ekholm trade and moved on from Barry, is they went into this past season with an adequate, at best, defense. They realized that, you know, there was some issues there, and then they found a way to come up with a solution in making that Ekholm deal, and it came at the expense of a guy that, you know, makes a great first pass and finds ways to get pucks through, put up a lot of offense, but, you know, was a little bit smaller and had his deficiencies in the back end. So you can mold your team as the season goes along, and I think this is a group and a management team that is more than willing to be open to looking at upgrading and seeing where there might be some issues to fill. But it is a good team. They're at a good starting point going into next year. But you know what? As is the case every year, there's going to be new faces coming in.
Joined by Tom Gazzola here on the Gregor Show on TSN 1260, talking all things Oilers. When you see, I look at the group, and I everything you said, I agree with you. I think that, you know, that the penalty kill and the D zone coverage. You know, how many times have we discussed on this show? Wow, they were able to get four, but they gave up three. Two were pretty rough, right? Like, I think that the standard for slip ups defensively that are ones that are preventable. I think that standard for the team has to become zero. And the internal pressure is that we can't let that happen, whether it's October, January, March, and definitely May. It can't happen because those habits just are built all the time. They continue to go. When you look at Vegas, let's just, you know, just case in point, Vegas last night in the third period, the Oilers had quite a bit of action down that zone, but how many clean looks did they get, right, where there wasn't a stick on puck or a body in front of them, or obviously, you know, Aiden Hill, who, you know, did pretty well as well. But I think that standard, the goalposts have to be moved, or the finish line, saying that's just not good enough. And I think that starts with the coaches, then to your four or five leaders, and then filters right down to everyone. Because you just can't flip that on. You know, unfortunately, you can't flip it on. When you get pressure like the Oilers did last night with Vegas, or from Vegas, you know, that's when your little warts are showing, right? It's kind of like it's 2 a.m. Let's turn the lights on. Oh, geez. We've been dancing for the last hour together. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I see, Tommy. And I every year it's a growing point. And this isn't an indictment of the team, but the group is growing. And we see improvement in different areas all the time. But I think that's one where they got to a man decide, guys, we're going to work on this every minute of all 82 games all year long.
Yeah, Strati, flashbacks to the ugly lights coming on at 2 a.m. at Ezzy's on a Tuesday, dollar draft night. So, but yeah, you're right. Like, the warts were exposed. And that's why I say D-zone. And I'm sure there's people that are going, five on five, that needs to be better. Absolutely. And the D-zone, I think, is where it emanates. And when you start to create that consistency and tighten it up and then, you know, you got your own zone locked up. And when you get that first pass out, you get those clean breaks off the wall. You're going back the other way and you're getting those opportunities and scoring chances 5-on-5. And then that probably starts to improve your numbers 5-on-5. And you know what? Goaltending too. You know, both guys had really high moments this past season in Campbell and Skinner. And then both guys had some really rough stretches, and for Skinner it was a tough lesson in the playoffs. He's not shying away from it. He owned it last night listening to him. But yeah, this is another harsh lesson. It's Draisaitl talked about it being almost like a failure and missing out. It is a missed opportunity, absolutely. Everybody's eyes widened and got excited when they saw Boston and Colorado lose out, and the remaining eight teams saw a path to the Stanley Cup final and maybe even winning the Stanley Cup. And so, yeah, it's a missed opportunity. But now they know And they got schooled 5-on-5 by the Golden Knights, who were excellent defensively. They changed their defensive setup from Pete DeBoer to when Bruce Cassidy came in, and they kept the Oilers to the outside, especially games 5 and 6. It was tough to watch the Oilers try to generate anything because those Golden Knights, they defended in layers. There was always a guy supporting when the Oilers were moving the puck, high to low, low to high, trying to get it across to the blue line. To the other D-man, back down low. There was always two or three Golden Knights in support. And then we had a call last night saying, hey, it was Aiden Hill that they lost to. Come on, you guys. I get that. But the system that the Golden Knights have implemented defensively in their zone is beneficial to whoever's between the pipes. And as long as the guy can see it, he's probably going to make the save, and it does create an opportunity where Laurent Brossoit, then an Aiden Hill, are in a position to win a series for the Vegas Golden Knights. So, yeah, there's a few things that popped up, but there's no reason to be down on this team because I think they're going to be right back in the mix next season, and this is the window. They realize that. The fan base does. It's disheartening for everyone, but it is a really good team, and some harsh lessons. But use them and get better next year, and I think they will be back next year.
Well, yeah, I don't think they're going to fall off a cliff. It will be one where they have to learn and move forward. You know, maybe there'll be some internal growth. Dylan Holloway coming up. Now, young guys, just to fill in the roster spots, to think that the young guys are going to be the major difference makers, right? Like, I wonder Evander Kane, you know, with, you know, almost a full year when the season starts next year coming off the wrist injury, maybe that will help him. You know, Cody Ceci was banged up. How much better will he play? I think the Oilers, though, as a team, have to collectively get better. But Jay Woodcroft's got to learn, Tom. Like, Woodcroft really had match lines. Then in game 6, he really wanted McLeod's line out against Carlson, right? to take Carlson away from McDavid. But I'm like, but the Eichel line was the line killing you. I wouldn't be worried about William Carlson shutting down McDavid's line. It'd be more so like, hey, you know, or at least put McDavid out against Eichel. Like, that was the matchup because, you know, the Eichel line was the difference maker in game 5 and 6.
Yep. Here's an example. You and I were sitting down for the third period, and Griggs, I think you turned and looked at me and said, hey, McDavid was just taken off the ice because Carlson's line's starting, right? Like, that was one where it's like, you've got the best player in the world. I think you're just going all out, making sure you do everything you can to win this game, and McDavid had just 5 and some odd minutes of ice time in that first period, and you're right, they got away from that matchup, and that's a tough lesson for Jay Woodcroft as well, and he's a guy that preaches battle scars and learning from these experiences, and I think he'll probably heed his own warning and his own advice and learn from where he thinks he could be better and may have had some mistakes and blips of his own with some decision making, and that might be a perfect example of that. I wouldn't be afraid to put Connor McDavid out there against anybody. Granted, I don't know how banged up Connor McDavid was, and that could play into it, but I think especially the way he was skating the last couple of games, I'd say you want to put Carlson out there against McDavid or Eichel against McDavid, go for it, because I put my money and I'd go all in with my guy any day, considering how good he is. Doesn't matter how good your guys are at shutting anybody down, I'd go with McDavid any day of the week at 60%, 70%, 80%, and certainly at 100%.
Head-to-head, man. I said it after the last series. There doesn't need to be tricks. There's no tricks. Yep. Both teams know each other. Roll them out. Get them out there. Eichel versus McDavid. Eichel, to be honest, I didn't know Eichel had that game, that he could bring it like that against this team. He was, if not the best, one of the best players over the whole series. Same with Marchessault. So both those guys just took it to the Oilers, and they couldn't be stopped. You know, look, they both had 8 points in the last 4 games, I think, or something like that, 8 or 9. Like, that's incredible. Last year, when McDavid and Connor were doing it, the collective Oilers world was talking about this, the numbers we've never seen before. Well, these guys did it too. Those guys did the same thing against a good Oilers team. So I think we got to recognize how good those two guys were playing this, especially after game 2.
In their own zone, it started. Hey, Struds, we had Jesse Granger on the pregame show yesterday, and I asked him about Eichel, and I was like, this guy's putting up, you know, really good numbers, but it's his first foray into the playoffs, and you know, a little bit quieter to start the series, but as it went on, he got better and better and better. And Jesse said that when Cassidy was hired, he talked to Eichel and said, listen, you're an elite level player, but we're going to take you from being like a superstar to playing championship caliber hockey, and that's a 200 by 80 foot or 85 foot game, and we witnessed that firsthand as the competition got stiffer and the games got harder, and Eichel showed that poise. So, you know, I like McDavid against anybody. I think he's capable of creating a championship style of game, and I think he will. I have full faith in him, and certainly Draisaitl, and you know, obviously Nugent Hopkins has to be much better. That was a bad playoff for him. He did put up points, a lot of them on the power play. He had a couple of good games. Game four was his best when his feet were moving. And then when you got banged up wingers, two of your best in Hyman and Kane, roughed up and fighting it and not healthy, it makes things tougher. So a lot to take from this season that was good. And then some of the bad, you know, use it to make you a better team next year and better players.
Tommy, we'll chat with you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Thanks, boys.